Chapter 2. The Five Khandhas. The Buddha discovered the truth of all phenomena. He knew the characteristic of each phenomenon by his own experience. Out of compassion, he taught other people to see reality in many different ways, so that they would have a deeper understanding of the phenomena in and around themselves. When realities are classified by way of Paramattha Dhammas, absolute realities, they are classified as citta, jetasika, rupa, nibbana. Citta, jetasika, and rupa are conditioned realities, sankhara dhammas. They arise because of conditions and fall away again. They are impermanent. One paramattha dhamma, nibbana, is an unconditioned reality, a sankhata dhamma. It does not arise and fall away. All four paramattha dhammas are anatta, non-self. Citta, jetasika, and rupa, the conditioned realities, can be classified by way of the five khandhas. Khanda means group or aggregate. What is classified as khanda arises because of conditions and falls away again. The five khandhas are not different from the three paramattha dhammas, which are citta, jetasika, and rupa. Realities can be classified in many different ways, and thus different names are given to them. The five khandhas are rupa khanda, which are all physical phenomena, vandana khanda, which is feeling, vandana, sanya khanda, which is remembrance or perception, sanya, sankhara khanda, comprising 50 jetasikas, that is, mental factors arising with the citta, vijnana khanda, comprising all cittas, either 89 or 121. As regards the 52 kinds of jetasika which may arise with citta, they are classified as three khandhas. The jetasika, which is feeling, vandana, is classified as one khanda, the vandana khanda. The jetasika, which is remembrance or perception, sanya, is classified as one khanda, the sanya khanda. As regards the other 50 jetasikas, they are classified altogether as one khanda, the sankhara khanda. For example, in sankhara khanda are included the following jetasikas: volition or intention, jetana; attachment, lopa; aversion, dosa; ignorance, moha; loving kindness, metta; generosity, elopa; and wisdom, panya. All defilements and all good qualities are included in sankhara khanda. They are impermanent, not self. Sankhara khanda is sometimes translated as activities or mental formations. As a footnote, sankhara has different meanings in different contexts. Sankhara dhamma comprises all conditioned realities. Sankhara khanda comprises 50 jetasikas. End of footnote. As regards citta, all cittas are one khanda, vijnana khanda. The Pali terms vijnana, mano, and citta are three terms for the same reality, that which has the characteristic of knowing or experiencing something. When citta is classified as khanda, the word vijnana is used. Thus, one khanda is rupa khanda, and the other four khandas are nama khandas. Three nama khandas are jetasika, and one nama khanda is citta. Anything which is khanda does not last. As soon as it has arisen, it falls away again. Although khandhas arise and fall away, they are real. We can experience them when they present themselves. Nibbana, the unconditioned dhamma, which does not arise and fall away, is not a khandha. The Visuddhimagga, chapter 20, verse 96, explains about the arising and falling away of nama and rupa. And here I quote, "There is no heap or store of unarisen nama or rupa existing prior to its arising. When it arises, it does not come from any heap or store, and when it ceases, it does not go in any direction. There is nowhere any depository in the way of heap or store or hoard of what has ceased. But just as there is no store, prior to its arising, of the sound that arises when a lute is played, nor does it come from any store when it arises, nor does it go in any direction when it ceases, nor does it persist as a store when it has ceased." In parentheses, Kindred Sayings, Chapter 4, Paragraph 197. "But on the contrary, not having been, it is brought into being owing to the lute, the lute's neck, and the man's appropriate effort, and having been, it vanishes. So too all material and immaterial states, rupa and nama, not having been, are brought into being, having been, they vanish." End of quote. The khandhas are realities which can be experienced. We experience rupa khandha when, for example, we feel hardness. This phenomenon does not stay. It arises and falls away. Rupa khandha is impermanent. Not only rupas of the body, but the other physical phenomena are included in rupa khandha as well. For example, sound is rupa khandha. It arises and falls away. It is impermanent. Vandana khandha, feeling, is real. We can experience feelings. Vandana khandha comprises all kinds of feelings. Feeling can be classified in different ways. Sometimes feelings are classified as threefold: pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, indifferent feeling. Sometimes they are classified as fivefold. In addition to pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and indifferent feeling, there are pleasant bodily feeling, painful bodily feeling. Bodily feeling is feeling which has body sense, the rupa which has the capacity to receive bodily impressions as condition. The feeling itself is nama, but it has rupa, body sense, as condition. When an object contacts the body sense, the feeling is either painful or pleasant. There is no indifferent bodily feeling. When the bodily feeling is painful, it is a kusala vipaka, that is, the result of an unwholesome deed. And when the bodily feeling is pleasant, it is kusala vipaka, that is, the result of a wholesome deed. Since there are many different moments of feeling arising and falling away, it is difficult to distinguish them from each other. For instance, we are inclined to confuse pleasant bodily feeling, which is vipaka, and the pleasant feeling, which may arise shortly afterwards, together with attachment to that pleasant bodily feeling. Or we may confuse painful bodily feeling and unpleasant feeling, which may arise afterwards, together with aversion. When there is bodily pain, the painful feeling is vipaka. It accompanies the vipaka citta, which experiences the unpleasant object impinging on the body sense. As a footnote, the experiences through the senses, which are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and body consciousness, are vipaka cittas, the results of gama. When these cittas experience a pleasant object, they are kusala vipaka, the result of kusala gama. And when they experience an unpleasant object, they are akusala vipaka, the result of akusala gama. End of footnote. Unpleasant mental feeling may arise afterwards. It is not vipaka, but it accompanies the akusala citta with aversion, and thus it is akusala. The akusa-citta with aversion arises because of our accumulated aversion, dosa. Though bodily feeling and mental feeling are both nama, they are entirely different kinds of feelings, arising because of different conditions. When there are no more conditions for dosa, there can still be painful bodily feeling, but there is no longer unpleasant mental feeling. The arahat, the perfected one who has eradicated all defilements, may still have akusala vipaka so long as his life has not terminated yet, but he has no aversion. We read in the kindred sayings, Book 1, Sagatavaga, the Marasuttas, Chapter 2, Paragraph 3, the Splinter. And I quote, Thus have I heard. The Exalted One was once staying at Rajagaha in the Malakuchi at the Deer Preserve. Now at that time his foot was injured by a splinter. Sorely indeed did the Exalted One feel it. Grievous the pains he suffered in the body, keen and sharp, acute, distressing, and unwelcome. He truly bore them, mindful and deliberate, nor was he cast down. End of quote. Feelings are sixfold when they are classified by way of the contacts occurring through the six doors. There is feeling which arises because of what is experienced through the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body sense, and the mind. All these feelings are different. They arise because of different conditions. Feeling arises and falls away together with the citta it accompanies, and thus at each moment feeling is different. We read in the kindred sayings, Book 4, Salayatana Vaga, Part 2, Kindred Sayings About Feelings, Paragraph 8, Sickness 2, that the Buddha said to the monks, and I quote, Monks, a monk should meet his end collected and composed. This is our instruction to you. Now, monks, as that monk dwells collected, composed, earnest, ardent, strenuous, there arises in him feeling that is pleasant, and he thus understands. There is arisen in me this pleasant feeling. Now that is owing to something, not without cause. It is owing to this contact. Now this contact is impermanent, compounded, arisen owing to something. Owing to this impermanent contact which has so arisen, this pleasant feeling has arisen. How can that be permanent? Thus he dwells, contemplating the impermanence in contact and pleasant feeling, contemplating their transience, their waning, their ceasing, the giving of them up. Thus as he dwells, contemplating their impermanence, the lurking tendency to lust for contact and pleasant feeling is abandoned in him. So also as regards contact and painful feeling, contact and neutral feeling. End of quote. There are still many more ways of classifying feelings. If we know about different ways of classifying feelings, it will help us to realize that feeling is only a mental phenomenon which arises because of conditions. We are inclined to cling to feeling which has fallen away, instead of being aware of the reality of the present moment as it appears through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body sense, or mind. In the passage of the Visuddhimagga, which was quoted above, Chapter 20, Paragraph 96, Nama and Rupa are compared to the sound of a lute, which does not come from any store when it arises, nor goes in any direction when it ceases, nor persists as a store when it has ceased. However, we cling so much to feelings that we do not realize that the feeling which has fallen away does not exist anymore, that it has ceased completely. Vindanakanda, feeling, is impermanent. Sanyakanda, perception, is real. It can be experienced whenever we remember something. There's sanya with every moment of citta. Each citta which arises experiences an object, and sanya which arises with the citta remembers and marks that object so that it can be recognized. Even when there's a moment that one does not recognize something, citta still experiences an object at that moment, and sanya which arises with the citta marks that object. Sanya arises and falls away with the citta. Sanya is impermanent. So long as we do not see sanya as it really is, only a mental phenomena which falls away as soon as it has arisen, we will take sanya for self. Sankara Kanda, all the jhana seekers other than Vandana and sanya, is real. It can be experienced. When there are beautiful mental factors, that is, subhana jhana seekers, such as generosity and compassion, or when there are unwholesome mental factors, such as anger and stinginess, we can experience sankara kanda. All these phenomena arise and fall away. Sankara kanda is impermanent. Vijnana kanda, citta, is real. We can experience it when there is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, experiencing tangible objects through the body sense, or thinking. Vijnana kanda arises and falls away. It is impermanent. All sankhara dhammas, that is, conditioned phenomena, the five khandas, are impermanent. Sometimes the khandas are called the khandas of clinging, in Pali, upadana khanda. Those who are not arahats still cling to the khandas. We take the body for self, thus we cling to rupa khanda. We take mentality for self, thus we cling to Vandana Kanda, to Sanya Kanda, to Sankara Kanda, and to Vijnana Kanda. If we cling to the Kandas and do not see them as they are, we will have sorrow. So long as the Kandas are still objects of clinging for us, we are like people afflicted by sickness. We read in the Kindred Sayings, Book 3, Kandavaga, the first 50, Paragraph 1, Nakula Pitar, that the house father, Nakula Pitar, who was an old, sick man, came to see the Buddha at Crocodile Haunt in the Deer Park. The Buddha said to him that he should train himself thus, and I quote, "Though my body is sick, my mind shall not be sick," end of quote. Later on, Sariputta gave him a further explanation of the Buddha's words, and I quote, "Herein, house father, the untaught many folk, who are unskilled in the worthy doctrine, untrained in the worthy doctrine, these regard body as the self. They regard the self as having body, body as being in the self as being in the body. I am the body, they say, body is mine, and are possessed by this idea. And so, possessed by this idea, when body alters and changes, owing to the unstable and changeful nature of the body, then sorrow and grief, woe, lamentation and despair arise in them. They regard feeling, Vandana, as the self. They regard perception, sanya, as the self. They regard the activities, sankhara kanda, as the self. They regard consciousness, vijnana, as the self. That, house father, is how body is sick and mind is sick too. And how is body sick but mind is not sick? Here in house father, the well-taught Aryan disciple regards not body as the self, regards not the self as having body, nor body as being in the self, nor self as being in the body. He says not, I am body. He says not, body is mine, nor is possessed by this idea. as he is not so possessed when body alters and changes, owing to the unstable and changeful nature of body, then sorrow and grief, woe, lamentation and despair do not arise in him. He regards not feeling, Vandana, as the self. He regards not perception, Sanya, as the self. He regards not the activities, Sankara Kanda, as the self. He regards not consciousness, Vijnana, as the self. Thus, House Father, body is sick, but mind is not sick. End of quote. So long as we are still clinging to the khandhas, we are like sick people. But we can be cured of our sickness if we see the khandhas as they are. The khandhas are impermanent, and thus they are dukkha, unsatisfactory. We read in the Kindred Sayings, Book 3, Khandavaga, Last 50, Paragraph 104, Suffering, that the Buddha taught to the monks the Four Noble Truths, the truth of dukkha, the truth of the arising of dukkha, the truth of the ceasing of dukkha, the truth of the way leading to the ceasing of dukkha. He said, and I quote, "Monks, I will teach you dukkha, the arising of dukkha, the ceasing of dukkha, the way leading to the ceasing of dukkha." As a footnote, in the English translation, dukkha is sometimes translated as suffering, sometimes as ill. Here, the English text uses the word suffering. End of footnote. And what, monks, is dukkha? It is to be called the five khandhas of grasping. What five? The rupa khanda of grasping, the vedana khanda of grasping, the sanya khanda of grasping, the sankara khanda of grasping, the vijnana khanda of grasping. This, monks, is called dukkha. And what, monks, is the arising of dukkha? It is that craving that leads downward to rebirth, the craving for feeling, for rebirth, for no rebirth. This, monks, is called the arising of dukkha. And what, monks, is the ceasing of dukkha? It is utter passionless ceasing, the giving up, the abandonment of, the release from, the freedom from attachment to that craving. This, monks, is called the ceasing of dukkha. And what, monks, is the way going to the ceasing of dukkha? It is the Aryan Eightfold Path. This, monks, is the way going to the ceasing of dukkha. End of quote. So long as they are still clinging to the khandhas, there will be the arising of the khandhas in rebirth, and this means sorrow. If we develop the Eightfold Path, the development of right understanding of realities, we will learn to see what the khandhas really are. Then we are on the way leading to the ceasing of dukkha, which means no more birth, old age, sickness, and death. Those who have attained the last stage of enlightenment, the stage of the arahat, will be, after their lifespan is over, free from the khandhas. Questions for Chapter 2. 1. Which Paramata Dhammas are Nama? 2. Which Paramata Dhammas are Sankara Dhamma, conditioned realities? 3. Which Paramata Dhamma is the unconditioned reality? 4. Which Sankara Dhammas are Nama? 5. Are all Jatisikas Sankara Kanda? 6. Is Vedana Jatisika, feeling, a Kanda? 7. Is Sanya Jatisika, remembrance or perception, a Kanda? 8. Is painful bodily feeling vipaka? 9. Is unhappy mental feeling vipaka? 10. Which khandhas are nama? 11. Is seeing consciousness a khanda? 12. Is the concept human being a khanda? 13. Is sound a khanda? 14. Which Paramata Dhammas are khanda? End of chapter 2.